Today we're continuing our series simply titled Emotions. Over the past couple of weeks, we have talked about things like meeting Jesus in our sadness, being angry like Jesus. And last week, we started a two-part message talking about an emotion that literally hit pandemic levels over the last 15 months. I'm talking about the emotion of anxiety. As we think about anxiety, I don't think there's a better description than the one Max Lucado gives in his wonderful little book called Anxious for Nothing. And I'm just going to read you his description for anxiety. It's a little long, but I think you will be captivated by it. He says anxiety is like this. It's a low-grade fear, an edginess, a dread, a cold wind that won't stop howling. It's not so much a storm as the certainty that one is coming, always coming. Sunny days are just an interlude. You can't relax, can't let your guard down. All peace just seems temporary, short term. It's not the sight of a grizzly bear, but it's the suspicion of one or two or ten. Behind every tree, behind every turn, inevitable. It's just a matter of time before that grizzly leaps out of the shadows, bares its fangs, and gobbles you up along with your family and your friends and your bank account and your pets and your country. There's trouble out there, so you don't sleep well. You don't laugh often. You don't enjoy the sun. You don't whistle as you walk. And when others do, you give them a look, that look. That look that says you are naive. You may even give them a word. Haven't you read the news lately? Haven't you heard the reports? Haven't you seen the studies? Airplanes are falling out of the skies. Bull markets go bare. Terrorists terrorize. Good people turn bad. The other shoe will drop. Fine print will be found. Misfortune lurks out there. It's just a matter of time. Anxiety is a meteor shower of what ifs. What if I don't close the sale? What if I don't get that bonus? What if my kids' teeth are crooked and I can't afford braces? What if those crooked teeth keep them from having friends, a career, a spouse? What if they end up homeless and hungry, holding a cardboard sign that reads, "My parents couldn't afford braces for me"? That's anxiety. A runaway train, causing us to live every day with suspicion and apprehension. It's living life in a minor key with major concerns. And if it's unchecked, anxiety will literally turn us into an emotional pretzel. Last week, we started looking at some scripture that we hope will help us put some brakes on anxiety just running rampant in our lives. As we tried to gain some insight and some understanding into God's perspective on our anxiety, we discovered a couple of truths that I want to just pause and remind you of before we go any farther today. Anxiety and fear are cousins, but they're not twins. Fear sees a legitimate threat, but anxiety imagines one. The key phrase of anxiety is always formed in a question: what if? Now, there's no debate that all of us are occasionally going to have a what-if question. We're occasionally going to have an anxious thought flit through our mind. The presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but friends, the prison of anxiety is optional. And I hope you will grab onto that truth. We know this is true. The prison of anxiety is optional because everywhere we see people in Scripture who are living right in the middle of intense anxiety-inducing situations, but somehow they are able to make a decision not to be overwhelmed by it. Last week, Pastor Jessica introduced us to some words from the Apostle Paul. They are words that at first glance look as if they might be written by somebody who is staying in a beach resort. But the truth is, Paul writes these words while he's in prison, facing the reality that at some point the guards will come with an execution order for him. And so we find Paul in the middle of this real life difficult situation, and he writes these words to us, and I want to invite you to go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In verse 8, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let me remind you again, Paul writes those words from the crucible of real life. And he challenges us to make a very strategic decision. He challenges us not to live by our feelings, but instead to live by a decision and a deeply rooted confidence that God exists, that God is in control, and that He is good. Paul is clearly making this decision not to let his feelings overwhelm him. In spite of difficult circumstances, we don't ever see Paul wallowing in despair or even becoming a pessimist. Paul has found the secret of moving forward through anxious feelings. And he lets us in on the secret. He really outlines four steps or four practices that you and I can take to heart, and they will help us break free from anxiety. Last week, Pastor Jessica helped us understand those first couple of verses and unpack the first two steps. And if you didn't hear that message, then I want to encourage you to just go at some point to that message online and listen to it, because these four steps we're talking about build on each other. Last week, we looked at those first couple of verses, and I remind you of them again. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And we talked last week about those verses challenging us in the middle of our anxiety-inducing situations to celebrate and to ask. Celebrate and ask. Celebrate in this context is really all about our perspective. Paul is saying you need to remind yourself of the faithfulness of God. You need to remind yourself of who God is and how God works, that God can always be trusted. Paul is saying you need to reframe your thoughts from simply anxiety-inducing information to God. You need to see all of that information from God's perspective. And so you need to celebrate, reframe your thinking to include God. And then as you reframe your thinking to include God, it moves you to ask. And asking in this context in which Paul writes is about honest conversation with God in every situation, with all of your petitions. He says, no pretending here, no ignoring, no minimizing. Just bring all of it to God, everything, all of who you are, all of your celebrations, all of your disappointments, all of your what-if questions, bring those to God. Ask God. Have an honest conversation with Him. Now, those two steps are critical to breaking free from anxiety, but they have to be coupled with the next two steps that Paul gives to us in these continuing verses. This third step, it really bridges verse 6 and leads us into verse 7. So let me share it with you again. And if you have scripture there in front of you, look at it with me. Verse 6, Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, not only do you need to celebrate, not only do you need to ask, but you need to leave your worry. Leave your worry. Paul says, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, friends, we can only do that. We can only present our request to God with thanksgiving if we believe God can be trusted and that God is good. A huge part of me being able to leave my worry and leave my anxious thoughts and leave my what-if questions is knowing that God is good, always. Knowing that God can always be trusted. In that truth and in that reality, I can actually leave my worries with God. I can leave them there with thanksgiving and gratitude, knowing that God will do what is right. Knowing that God will do what is good, knowing that God will always move His plan for me and my family and our world forward. Now, this leaving our worry with God, it's not minimizing the issue. It's not ignoring the pain. It's not sidestepping the problem. We're simply bringing the issue to God, and we're knowing that He cares and that His Spirit will guide us and lead us. And so we give it to Him rather than continuing to carry it with us. Last week in our message, we mentioned Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. Peter, writing to those Christians living under Roman persecution, he said, you need to know God cares for you. And because God cares for you, you can give Him your worries and your cares and your concerns and your anxiety. If you and I will anchor our heart to the character of God, we can leave our worry with Him. Whether our what-if question comes true or not, we trust, knowing that with Christ, whatever the outcome, we actually win. The question really isn't what if or will I survive, because Paul says no matter the circumstance, the peace of God will transcend your understanding and it will guard your heart and it will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. You and I may be facing the perfect storm and Jesus offers us the perfect peace. We do our part. We celebrate. We ask. We leave our worries, and then God does His part. His peace guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Now, you are intelligent enough to know that the word guard is a military term. And Paul is giving us this powerful image of Christ's peace being like armed warriors around our mind, around our heart, around our life, around our family, surrounding us to fight off those things that would cause anxiety just to run wild in our life. Paul knew that whatever his situation, Jesus had forgiven him. His life had been transformed from terrorist to church planter. He was being guided every day by Jesus. He had been promised by Jesus that He would be with him forever. His peace was truly anchored to Jesus. An interesting detail about this little letter to the Philippians that we're looking at is that within the 104 verses of Philippians, Paul mentions Jesus 40 times. Think about that. At an average of every 2.5 verses, Paul is talking about Jesus. Paul knows that our peace begins and is sustained by Christ. We can leave it with Him. If you look just a few verses later on in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says these words, verse 11. He says, I've learned how to be content whatever my circumstance. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And then he gives us the secret. He says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul says, we can leave our worry with Jesus because He cares for us. He gives us peace and He sustains it. Could I ask you, can death take our peace? No. Jesus has proven that he's greater than death through the resurrection. Can failure take our peace? No. Jesus forgives our sin. Can broken relationships take our peace? No. Because Jesus has promised us that he will never leave us. We will never be alone. Can sickness and disease take our peace? No. Jesus has promised, whether on this side of the grave or on the other, he will heal us. Can disappointment take our peace? No, it shouldn't. Because even though our plans may not work out the way we planned them, we know God's plan will work out perfectly. Can disappointment take our peace? No. None of these things can take our peace because they cannot take away Jesus. Now, having reminded us that the peace of Christ is the true antidote for runaway anxiety, Paul gives us one final step. Look at verse 8 with me. He says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you." The New Living Translation says, "Fix your thoughts." Some other translations say, "Think on these things." Paul is saying, you and I need to make a decision. You and I need to make a decision about what we're going to allow our focus to be upon, what we're going to fix our thoughts upon. This is such a significant step because Paul knows human nature. He knows that our lives are truly a reflection of what we think. Like whitewater rapids just sort of rushing downstream, our thoughts move us in direction of the strongest current. And the thoughts we believe and hold on to and use to support our decisions determine our view of virtually everything and everyone, including ourselves. What we think about matters. There truly is a war going on for the control of our thoughts and our minds. And Paul's challenge is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to take control of what we fix our thoughts upon. Friends, if we ignore this battle, we lose it. So we have to be honest about what we let our minds dwell on. Truth be told, many of us, we love to look for stuff that affirms our pessimism or our frustration. We love to rehearse our regrets, offenses, and problems. Someone has said, we love to meditate on our mess. But Paul challenges us to be very intentional about where and how we focus our thoughts. We all know that we have no control over our birth date. We didn't select our parents. We don't determine the weather. We don't determine the salt content of the ocean. There are lots of things that are beyond our control that we have no choice about. But we can choose what we think about. Max Lucado uses the wonderful illustration of an air traffic controller. He says, you and I need to be the air traffic controller of our mental airport. You control the control tower. You occupy the control tower. Thoughts might circle around, but you give them permission to land and you tell them to take off. You select a thought pattern. So Paul says, if you're going to be the air traffic controller of your mind, if you're going to take control through the power of the Holy Spirit, then here's the strategy for selecting what you should occupy in the space of your mind. Paul says, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. This idea behind fix your thoughts, or to think on these things, is simply this: it is the habit of thought. So the habit of saying, yes, I will let that occupy space here. No, I won't. I will not let my mind dwell on those things. Paul says you need to make a habit of thinking about these things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and worthy of praise. Make it a habit of thinking about these things. That means that you and I, we have to be very intentional. Very intentional. We all have so much information thrown at us every single minute that we absorb it without the benefit of being able to adequately process it. And because we have so much hitting us that we can't process it, it just stays in our mind and fills our mind and floats around in there. And the first thing you know, we are absolutely overwhelmed with stuff that heightens our fears and paralyzes us with anxiety. And Paul says, you've got to make a decision about what you allow your mind to focus on. You're going to have to determine what's going to be the dominant theme of your mind. For some of us, we've let it be Facebook. We've let it be a news station. We've let it be the popular opinion or ideas that float around our society. Paul says you need to make a decision to think about things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and worthy of praise. Be intentional about this. I wonder how you're doing with this challenge from Paul. Do you find yourself caught in a lot of anxious thoughts that just keep sucking you in deeper like quicksand? If so, I just want to encourage you to embrace this challenge from Paul. Paul says, if you want to break free from anxiety, then change your perspective by celebrating a God who is always faithful. Don't look at your circumstances without God clearly in view. And he says, ask in prayer for his perspective and go to him with gut-wrenching honesty. Bring your thoughts to him, all those anxious thoughts, bring them to him. He cares. And because he cares, leave it there. Don't keep carrying it with you. And then, as you leave your worries and your anxiety with Jesus, fix your thoughts on Him. Fix your thoughts on what is right. Fix your thoughts on those things that will help you, not drag you down. Where are those areas in your life that you simply need to say, God, I need your help today. I need your help fixing my thoughts. I need your help leaving my worries. I need your help asking in prayer. I need your help to celebrate you who is so faithful, even in the middle of my difficulty. I'd love to pray with you, and then I want to share with you a resource that I think might help you as you break free from anxiety. Would you pray with me? God, as we think about this truth, we know there is so much more that could be said. But what we need most is your help. We need your Spirit to help us see you in the middle of the messes of life, to know that you are with us, that you care, and that you are not absent or disconnected, but you are with us, walking with us, wanting to help us and offer us your peace. We pray that you would help us to be honest with you and to bring all of who we are and all of our anxious thoughts to you. And God, we know that as we do that, we can leave them with you and your peace will actually guard our hearts and minds. And we pray that as your peace is present in our life, that your Spirit would help us to intentionally take control of what's going on in our own mind. And may we determine that we are going to fix our thoughts and focus our mind on those things that will help us experience all that you desire for us and experience your peace, rather than dragging us down into anxiety that paralyzes us. God, would you help us? in the unique way that we need it today, so we can experience your peace in the middle of a world that is filled with anxiety. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, if you would like to think more about this topic of taking control of your mind through the power of the Holy Spirit and winning the war of your mind, we want to invite you to join us as a whole church family, Grace Point family, in reading through Craig Rochelle's book, Winning the War in Your Mind. You can start this week. You can order it off Amazon.com or wherever you purchase books. And we'd love to have you join us as you just walk through winning the war of your mind as you break free from anxiety.